I'm thinking about Christmas, and I'm spurred to make this audio boo by immediately after listening to Nick Holloway Vox, who is involved in some sort of dialogue with TurboStream about Christmas. And I thought, well, what would I say about Christmas if anybody wanted to know my view on it? The first thing that came to mind was that it would be a very good thing to actually get involved in a series of conversations on Audioboo about Christmas, much as there was recently a splurge of communications on Audioboo about Audioboo commenting. So with the intention of carrying on the conversation that Nick has just started, in my mind at least, let me say a few things about Christmas. The first thing I think of is that if Christmas didn't exist, we'd have to invent it. Humans would have to invent it. And in some ways, I think humans have always... I can't back this up anthropologically but with enough evidence, but my hypothesis is that humans have always had a kind of a Christmas period in the year. In other words, a period of excess, a period of overindulgence, a period of unusual marking of communal activity. And I'm kind of thinking of groups of humans who would have drunk themselves silly or eaten too many hallucinogenic substances. All for the sake of what? All for the sake of having a release of all the tensions, a release of all the... some kind of release anyway, some kind of different period. And that this would go on over a number of days. It wouldn't just be a brief period, you know, at full moon, but that it would go on maybe up to about a week. And I kind of imagine this as an ancient tribal ritual. I'm completely open to be contradicted by the anthropologists on this topic, but it does seem to me to be sociologically to play a function that I think I can understand, at least in my own way. Now that would be the first thing I think of, that you know, it is a social... It plays some social function. Now, I have to add in that I have experienced directly, and as I know other people have experienced, Christmas as the most Christmas, New Year as the most horrid period of all. Period. If you're not feeling well, and you're surrounded by a whole load of people who appear to be well, it can even make you feel more unwell than you're feeling otherwise. And on top of that, if you are lonely and destitute and, you know, really low money available to you, it can also aggravate the normal feelings that you have about being destitute and being unwell. So that, I suppose, is my second thing, that it is a social difficulty for a lot of people. And I know when it comes to people who have mental health difficulties, it is a very, very trying time. But thirdly, I feel that at its very best, Christmas is a time for communal renewal. It's a time for people marking their membership of a community by engaging in rituals like church rituals, especially at certain times of the year, church rituals, at also other rituals like visiting each other's houses and joining in neighbourly celebrations, for example, something that happens in my family, and I don't know how widely much it's practiced in other families, but I do know that in Ireland it's not a terribly unusual thing for people to visit other people's families on Christmas Day itself. Other rituals are like people going to the races in, this is practiced in Limerick, where I come from originally, going to the races on St. Stephen's Day or Boxing Day. They're both the same day, by the way. They're just, one is in Ireland, it's called St. Stephen's Day, and in the UK, it's called Boxing Day. Going to the races, when they wouldn't normally. Going beagling was another ritual that we used to do when we were young. So this is another form of communal activity. Another one is playing, hitting a ball with a hurley along the road. This, I've made audio boo about this on other Christmases. So I imagine that different communities have different forms of communal activity over the Christmas period, if you like, as well. Going to Christmas carol services is another example of such a social ritual that's carried out. And there are too many to mention, really, others. Another example of this is that it is a time of the year when it's an opportunity to express gratitude to others who have been good to you during the year. So it's an opportunity to look over your supporters, people who have been good to you during the year, and write to them a personal note of thanks, wishing them a very happy Christmas, and also thanking them for what they've done for you during the year. Another thing that Christmas provides is an opportunity to anticipate the year ahead and think, you know, who are the people on whom I rely or who I expect to rely for support. That could be could be a continuation of the support from last year. It could be people who you hope will become more supportive in the coming year than in the past year. It could be, for business purposes, writing Christmas cards to companies with whom you hope to have a deeper business relationship or something to do with business anyway during the coming year. So there's an expression of gratitude, but also an expression of hope involved in Christmas from that point of view. The concentration of it all at one period in the year on an immovable date also divides the year into an absolute date that affects everybody, as opposed to, say, summer holidays, which all happen at different times during the year. And unless you live in France, where everybody, forgive me, I may get this wrong, but everybody goes on holidays on the first day, the 1st of August or something like that. But no, Christmas is an immovable feast, and it does actually compel in some way whole groups of people to be to organize their lives accordingly. Like, there's no way of being late for Christmas. If you have projects to deliver before Christmas, they have to be delivered before a particular date. It can't just be by the middle of January or by the middle of thingy-bob, whatever it is. So in that sense, Christmas is a great, for some, it can be a crucifying thing, because everything has to be rushed to fit in at the last minute, and that can be very tough. On the other hand, it's a great liberation for some others, because it actually clearly demarcates the year. So it splits the year in two in that sense, and divides the annual, you know, 12 months into half come before Christmas and half come after Christmas. And in that sense, there's another important, plays another important role. What else can I say about Christmas? Well, of course, it is a period of time when, on the excess splurge side, there's not only excessive eating and drinking, so that January then is a period of recovery, if you like. But there's also an opportunity for people to engage in conspicuous consumption and giving inordinate presents or vast amounts of presents to people. So it's got this kind of ostentatious ritual that humans like to have, where they show off, overindulge their children, spoil them, make up for the guilt of absence during the year. So, for example, it's a period of time in which humans engage in presenting a face on their life, which relieves some of the guilt, relieves some of the anxiety, relieves some of the worry that they might not have been as good as they wish they were. And finally, it's an opportunity for people to make resolutions to be better in future. Now, of course, like all other resolutions which involve, putting in place a new habit, there's the repeated failure. So there's an opportunity to recover from dealing with failure. And the ability to, I suppose you'd say, the ability to forgive oneself for failing. Practicing the art of self-forgiveness. It's inevitable that people will fail with their resolutions. It's very difficult to see what else humans can do other than, fail when it comes to resolutions. I would say that that's about all I can say about Christmas. It is, lastly, I would say, the kind of dance round the campfire, the close family thing can be really important, because it's also a time of reconciliation at which there can be people who haven't spoken to each other for many years can feel a sort of pressure to get together and make reparation for the separation that has existed. So in that sense, it's an opportunity for renewal, and putting it in another way, it's an opportunity for rebirth of relationships. I suppose I keep coming up with lastly, but here's another one, that it marks an end of something. So it is a really good opportunity to say goodbye to the past and stop things that have been going on and haven't been fruitful. It may be a good opportunity to stop having relationships with people which have been based upon superficial and apparent compliance with social norms during the year. So it is a good opportunity for finishing and saying, look, I'm going to stop having relationships with people which are clearly have passed their sell-by date. So in that sense, I think Christmas has to be regarded, or I regard Christmas as a pretty important time in my life. A time which I have both disliked immensely and enjoyed very, very much. And I mean, I'm thankful. I give thanks for the fact that I approach this particular Christmas in a way that I, haven't always approached Christmas, in a spirit of celebration and empathy, I think I'd have to say, for what it means to other people. Anyway, Nick, thank you very much for provoking this thought, this collection of thoughts from me. And it would be great to hear what other people think of Christmas. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.